What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. Welcome to another work week. New work week is here. It's Monday on B&E, the good, the bad, and the ugly. From a busy weekend, but not as busy as usual. If you're a Longhorn football fan, Cowboys fan, plenty of college and pro football, but both of those teams enjoyed their bye week. But boy, what a scene out at Circuit of the Americas all weekend. Longs fans flocking to the F1 race in record numbers. We'll recap it and restart the program, reminding you that the folks out at Austin ABIA, the airport, expecting their busiest travel day maybe ever, coming off the Formula One weekend, recommending 3 hours ahead of any flight today as you're up and out this morning. And hopefully you've gotten that alert, but folks will be flocking now after being here for the race this weekend, flocking to the airport today to get out of here. But be advised of that. It's going to be a busy Monday at the airport, busy Monday in and around the airport this morning. We will recap the weekend throughout the course of 4 hours, beginning right now. Appreciate you being there here on the Show of the People on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com. Good morning, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated, and we appreciate it each and every day. Going to be a nice warm day today in the 90s.
Record heat expected today.
Yeah, and then from that point on, we're going to start to get to fall here.
Yeah, Wednesday, midweek, cold front coming your way. But yeah,
thank goodness.
We're going to set a record today, it looks like. 93, 94 degrees potentially with the humidity remaining. Record heat today, and then a strong midweek cold front coming your way. Should be a beautiful weekend coming.
Mm-hmm.
Cooling temperatures down, feel more like the fall into the Halloween weekend, which is coming up. But a lot to do between now and then. We've got quite a weekend to recap. We've also got the Houston Astros into the World Series. Game one of their series with the Braves begins tomorrow night. Got the NBA up and running. We've got plenty of football. And let's start with the race, the weekend that was, the headlines from your busy Sunday and your busy weekend. Let's hit them. Specs, Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods bringing you the headlines. We will start with the race from the weekend. What a scene yesterday. 140,000 fans packed into the Circuit of the Americas for the U.S. Grand Prix yesterday. A record-setting crowd, record-setting attendance all weekend at COTA as fans flocked to see the return of the sport to the U.S. for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, missed last year. And they were treated to one heck of a race, as expected. The young gun of the circuit, Max Verstappen, in the Red Bull car, held off the great Lewis Hamilton and Team Mercedes by 1.3 seconds. A race to the finish. 23-year-old Dutchman secures his eighth win of the season, extends his lead in the driver standings to for the championship standings to 12 points with five races to go. Great crowd also on hand in North Austin yesterday afternoon. Austin FC scored a pair of first-half goals, held on for a 2-1 win over the Houston Dynamo, their rivals in the state of Texas at Q2 Stadium. Sebastian Druzzi's goal in the closing seconds of the first half became the difference maker in the match. The Verde will be at FC Dallas this Saturday. In the NFL, first-place Cowboys extended their lead in the NFC East without playing yesterday. While they were enjoying the bye, the Washington football team got trounced by Green Bay. Philadelphia lost in Vegas. So the rest of the division now looking up at the Cowboys. They're all 2-5. Cowboys are 5-1. Houston Texans are now 1-6 on the year. They got clobbered in Arizona yesterday, 31-5. The Cardinals now 7-0, the lone unbeaten remaining in the NFL. Other Week 7 highlights saw Tom Brady become the first quarterback ever to throw 600 touchdown passes. He tossed four yesterday. Tampa routed the Bears 38-3. Upstart Cincinnati Bengals moved into first place in the AFC North with an ultra-impressive win in Baltimore, 41-17. Tennessee Titans flattened the disappointing Chiefs, 27-3. And last night, in a driving rainstorm, the Indianapolis Colts beat the San Francisco 49ers 30-18. College football Longhorns, of course, also enjoying their bye week. They will be at Baylor this coming Saturday. The 6-1 Bears actually moved up four spots in this week's AP poll without playing. They come in at number 16 this week. Georgia Bulldogs remain the unanimous number one team in the land, followed by the unbeaten Cincinnati Bearcats. Alabama, one loss, Crimson Tide move up to three ahead of undefeated Oklahoma this week. Sooners struggled with lowly Kansas on Saturday. Ohio State's at five, followed by Michigan. Wolverines will face the eighth-ranked and undefeated Michigan State Spartans this week in a battle of unbeatens. Texas A&M at 14, SMU at 19. UTSA Roadrunners have cracked the rankings at number 23 for head coach Jeff Traylor. In the NBA, one of the Texas three in action last night. Houston Rockets get beat in Boston, 107-97.
When it comes to cheering on Major League Soccer in Texas, Specs is your home team for lower prices on a bigger selection of fan-fueling fun. Official partner of Austin FC, Specs. The fun starts here.
All right, Mr. Godbolt, where do we start from a busy weekend, my friend?
Well, CODIS is a great place to start. What a great event. Lots of money into the city, lots of crowds out at Circuit of the Americas. Probably a great night for a concert Saturday night, but what a great race. That was fun. That really was exciting. If you didn't get into F1 and you didn't know anything about it, just watching that was absolutely amazing. I never thought Lewis Hamilton could catch Verstappen. I never thought he was going to get to him, but boy, he ended up getting pretty close. But it was more the driving of the young guy too.
Well, and Red Bull, right? They kind of teamed up on Lewis Hamilton. It felt like
they got
two Red Bull cars, and you know they pitted ahead, and you know it was all about pit stops yesterday on a hot day. It was going to be a two pit stop race, and you know Hamilton could never catch him once he had to pit the second time, and Verstappen took
it. It was
going
to be awful hard to ever pass him.
Yeah, that's kind of the story of COTA, is that you know 10 races in now, or 10 years, 9 races. The winner has always come from the first row. The first row, whoever you know qualifies 1-2. Someone on that first row has won every race here, including Lewis Hamilton 5 times. And previously, this one goes to Verstappen, and he now is in control of the championship race with 5 to go. They'll be in Mexico in the month of November for the next race, a couple weeks from now, down in Mexico City. But yeah, man, the crowd's just unbelievable, and the buzz. I mean, gosh, they were 120,000 there on Saturday for the qualifying and all the events that were going on, all the music, and of course Billy Joel Saturday night as part of the live music event, and just an event. I mean, the buzz downtown was palpable. The crowds, as we said, the Austin airport is planning on its busiest day ever, which tells you how many folks are trying to, you know, came in from elsewhere
trying to
watch
to get
this
back
race.
To Europe and other places in our country too.
Yeah. It was a massive crowd, and talked to several or texted with several friends who have been to many of these races who said it was the best they've ever been to as far as the energy and the crowd and just the excitement of the race. And so pretty cool. Nice job, CODA, and they needed that, right? They've been kind of hanging
did.
On
yes,
out there
have.
Through the pandemic and pretty much had to shut down in 2019 with no events, and they needed that shot of capital and shot of funding to move forward. We'll see. You know, we talked last week. You know, can this is the end of the 10-year contract now that was, you know, initially back in 2012. The State House and Greg Abbott and the Politicos are going to have to come up with maybe $25 million to keep this race here next year. Because, as we said on Friday, there is an asterisk next to that on the schedule next year, October 23rd. They've got to come up with a way to pay that one-time fee to bring the race back. We'll see how that plays out, and we'll follow it. But let's hope it can come back, because that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Bobby Epstein wants it back badly.
Yeah, but the original deal had that $25 million a year coming from the tourism fund, the general tourism fund, and now that's not there. How are they going to come up with that? They've got to come up with a solution to that, or else that asterisk will become a. We'll just go to Miami, and we won't come, I guess. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But that was great yesterday. The race itself, phenomenal. And the Dutchman gets the victory yesterday. So that was part of the good of the weekend. and the weekend it was. We'll take your thoughts if you attended and were a part of it, getting in, getting out, the scene on hand, and all that went on at Circuit of the Americas this weekend with Max Verstappen holding off Lewis Hamilton in the photo finish there at the end to get the win. What'd you make from the college and pro football weekend, Buck? We've got plenty of storylines in both. How about the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday? Are you kidding me? They just beat the heck out, beat the daylights out of the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Burrow, the passing game, phenomenal. That was one of the headlines of a pretty lackluster NFL Sunday.
I didn't think so. I thought the Colts game last night, I didn't know the Colts were really that good.
How about that rainstorm they played in?
Yeah, and that defense of the Colts is really special. Talking about guys that can run around and guys slapping at the ball and knocking the ball out on a wet night. That was good football last night by the Colts.
Yeah.
I can see why they're tough at home.
Yeah, I mean, but they're off to a rough start. I mean, we talked about Carson Wentz being rusty. He was injured in the preseason, and
yep.
Of course, Sam Ehlinger has moved into the quarterback room there with Indianapolis, and it does feel like Carson Wentz kind of getting his feet on the ground there with that offense and with the Colts, and Jonathan Taylor is starting to emerge as a great running back for them, and yeah, that defense. But they're sitting at 3-4 now, chasing the Tennessee Titans in the AFC South. And that was a disappointing performance, by San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. That was a 49ers team coming off of their bye week. Looked good to start and then really were flat the rest of the way. Jimmy Garoppolo, they don't do much in the passing game. The Colts defense smothered them last night.
Yeah, the guru doesn't come up with many guru things right now.
They didn't look like a very well-coached football team coming off their bye week last night. And then, you know, afterwards, Kyle Shanahan would not commit to Jimmy Garoppolo long-term. Trey Lance, who knows how that's going to play out.
He's got a bum knee.
But yes, the Colts are, you know, I think going to be an emerging team here October into November.
I would say
as
so.
They continue to work Carson Wentz into that offense. And as Jonathan Taylor keeps, that was 18 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, and that dude is fast, man. He was fast in the rain. I at home, as the season goes on and they get a little bit stronger and Carson Wentz gets a little bit better in the passing game. That's going to be a tough group to handle right there.
Yeah.
And the Titans are what the Titans are. I mean, I don't expect to see Kansas City go very far. That defense is just too bad. And Patrick Mahomes just...
The sloppy Chiefs, man.
They are a sloppy group.
It's what it continues to be. I mean, the Chiefs, they look like the Cowboys did last year before Dak got hurt. And now, you know, Pat Mahomes might be hurt. He took a concussion yesterday. He did pass the test, but he got popped pretty good late in that game.
I thought he was going to hurt his neck more than anything.
Yeah, his neck got banged backwards. He was falling down, and a defensive lineman's thigh hit him right, or knee hit him right square in the chin, pushed his neck backwards and kind of bent him awkwardly. He had to leave the game, and that game was well decided by then as the Titans just dominated the first half, built a huge lead. And part of that, the reason I said they looked like the Cowboys a year ago, remember the Cowboys had a bad defense last year. And they also turn the ball over like crazy.
Right.
This is what the Chiefs do now. The Chiefs lead the NFL in turnovers with 16. Mahomes, a big part of that, had an interception, and he tried to force a ball.
I think he's got like 9 or 10 interceptions this year already.
He's got at least one in every game. He fumbled also yesterday. He was trying to scramble to make a run and got stripped from behind, put the ball on the ground, and just keep giving the ball back to – and their defense isn't good enough to hold.
So they can't hold anybody.
Chiefs are your – disappointing, to say the least.
And the Titans are coming on. Their defense are getting better.
Yeah, if you watch the Titans beat up on the Bills on Monday night and then turn around and beat the Chiefs, you're thinking, how did that team lose to the Jets? Like, literally, the Titans lost to the Jets this year, earlier this year in New York or in New Jersey. And then you turn around and watch the Jets yesterday play the Patriots, who hung 54 points. 54-13. As we kind of thought after the Cowboys survived the Patriots in overtime.
Patriots are a tough team at home.
Patriots kind of feel like they're improving with their young
especially
quarterback.
Especially at home.
It does feel like, and it feels like they're giving more and more to the young quarterback, Mac Jones, and kind of adding more layers to the offense as it goes. And, all those free agent signings kind of building some cohesiveness. They're going to be a team to watch behind the Bills in the AFC East. And the AFC North, it's Cincinnati in first place. Now, they go into Baltimore. Ravens, we're sitting at 5-1, and Baltimore throws 41 on the board. Joe Burrow throws for over 400 yards. Ja'Marr Chase is a stud. T. Higgins, the tight end. Joe Mixon, the running back. That's a good-looking offense. And Cincinnati plays better defense than you think, Buck.
They sure do.
There's a new look in Cincy all of a sudden. They're sitting atop that very tough AFC North division out of Baltimore and Cleveland now. And, of course, the great Tom Brady is just the great Tom Brady now, 602 career touchdown passes. I should mention that Tennessee team. You know who else beat Tennessee? Arizona, who is now 7-0. They flattened the Texans yesterday.
Yeah, that was a monster line, and there was at no time that I think that they weren't going to get that monster line, and they did.
They fell behind 5-0, I think.
Yeah, it was 5-0.
They scored 31 unanswered. Houston's dreadful. Dreadful. By the way, we'll give you this update. There's a new team involved in the Deshaun Watson trade sweepstakes, which apparently is going to heat up this week ahead of November 2nd, mm-hmm. the November 2nd trade deadline. We'll let you know who that is here in a minute. But let me mention on the Cardinals, how about Zach Ertz? He was the newly acquired tight end, catching a long his longest touchdown pass of his career he caught yesterday, 47-yard catch and run against Houston. And he was asked afterwards, he said, I'm going to see a lot of green grass when I've got A.J. Green one side, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Cardinals are legit at 7-0, the undefeated, the only undefeated
because
team in the league.
Because Zach Ertz is really good at finding the open areas.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's used to, you know, being in Philadelphia for a couple years here, he's been like the focal point
Absolutely.
Of the defense, right? Everybody's got to focus on Zach Ertz because they knew they were trying to get him the ball. Now he's, what? You know, Christian Kirk caught a touchdown pass yesterday for Arizona. I mean, it's the options galore for Kyler Murray. If they can keep him healthy, Cardinals are definitely a factor.
And they've got a nice running game, too. James Conner is a different dude now.
And Chase Edmonds?
Yes.
Yeah, Arizona's legit. I mean, you mentioned the big lines. You know, in the NFL yesterday, the late afternoon games had three huge lines, right? I mean, the Cardinals were 17.5-point favorites over the Texans, and they covered it.
Rams were 21.
Rams were... I don't think it was that great. I think it was like 16 over the Detroit Lions. The Rams did not cover.
No.
Because they got off to a slow start, and Matt and Jared Goff had a pretty good first half, first quarter, but in the end, the Rams.
And they went special teams crazy on
the
Rams. Talking about faking.
Well, Dan Campbell, the coach of the winless Detroit Lions, stole three possessions. They had two fake punts, and then they ran an onside kick that they got. Against the Rams, trying to steal possessions, and they still lost by 9 points.
I know.
at least Dan Campbell's team is fighting, right? I don't know if you can say the same for the Texans, but at least they're fighting down there up there in Motown. But the other big line was the Buccaneers-Bears, which was like 12.5, and they covered that easily, 38-3.
Oh, yeah.
As the Cowboys sat back and watched their lead extend in their own division, you're looking out at the NFC, and Green Bay is 6-1. Buccaneers are 6-1. Cardinals are 7-0. Those are the top three teams.
And the Washington
and the
football team had a chance too against Green Bay. They just didn't know what to do.
Oh, with the fumble at the goal line,
My goodness!
Yeah, 24-10. You're right. There was a 14-point victory for the Packers, but it seemed closer.
Yep.
Because on two different occasions, the Washington football team had a chance to score a touchdown and got zero. They got stuffed at the goal line. One, they fumbled.
Coughed one up.
On a quarterback sneak going in, or that would have been a closer ball game. But in the end, I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you know, definitely the Cowboys are. Big picture, a factor in this thing, and you know, in the mix. But boy, good teams in the NFC. Arizona's the top team. Rams are really good. Packers are really good, and of course, the Buccaneers are the defending champions, and seem like they're getting better.
Well, the team to me right now is the Titans. They just look unstoppable because their quarterback can run and throw. They've got those big old. They got a nice tight end playing, and two or three wide receivers that are just monsters. When they catch and they run, they look like big, huge running. They look all like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's
it's like Derrick Henry playing wide receiver.
And this is what Mike Vrabel wants in his team, right? A big physical football team that wears on you as the game goes on, as the season goes on. And that's what they are right now. And it does feel like their defense is improving. They're sitting at 5-2. Of course, they're in the AFC where you look at, you know,
those second and fours and things like that, they can take shots down the field because, you know, they can go for it in third and fourth down.
Yeah, they're built. Remember, of course, they played the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game 1 year ago. So this should not be a huge surprise that Tennessee's in this conversation. But, you know, they're in it in the AFC with the Bengals all of a sudden, for crying out loud, the Buffalo Bills. And, heck, the Vegas Raiders have won two straight since firing John Gruden. They beat up on the Eagles yesterday, and I think you put the Chargers in that conversation too. But good stuff from the NFL. The week will wrap up tonight with Monday Night Football. The Saints will face the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks tonight to wrap up Week 7. In the National
and some great, really good college football too over the weekend. I Roll Tide is back. They put it on Tennessee.
They did, but it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, which would surprise a lot of folks. The Crimson Tide pulled away late, and there are some that raised some eyebrows that they moved ahead of Oklahoma. Oklahoma dropped back to 4, even though they haven't lost. Alabama, as a one-loss team, of course, at A&M, a couple weeks ago. They're up to number three now. I don't know if, I mean, if I have an AP ballot, I'm putting Oklahoma and Michigan ahead of Alabama and Ohio State as one-loss teams versus undefeated teams.
Yeah, but there's a team on the move is Ohio State. Their offense is, they played their best defensive game this week.
Against Indiana.
And their offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're emerging. Of course, they lost to Oregon early, and now Oregon's into the top 10.
Yep.
They beat UCLA in a good football game on Saturday at Los Angeles. So Oregon's in the top 10. And, you know, as we talk about this past weekend, there weren't heavyweight matchups as far as top-ranked matchups. There's a couple this week, including Michigan State, number 6 and number 8. Finally, somebody in the state of Michigan will take a loss there. They're both undefeated right now with Jim Harbaugh and Mel Tucker. And it was going to be Ohio State-Penn State as a top 10 matchup, but Penn State lost in 9 overtimes.
Which is ridiculous.
To the Fighting Illini.
Yeah,
heck was that?
They can take that 2-point, whatever it is, and do something with it, too. I don't know what they're going to do, but that thing was boring.
Yeah, that's the new rule, that after the first couple of overtimes, they go to 2-point conversions. That's why it got to 9. Heck, a couple weeks ago, we talked to Jake Spavital, the head coach at Texas State, they were involved in the first one of those.
Right.
Where they won a game 33-31, where they had to go into the 2-point conversions, and they got theirs, and they stopped one for the opponent. So, yeah, we saw that with 9 overtimes for Illinois.
And Illinois just took the ball and ran it down Penn State's throat all day. I mean, like, all day for 4 quarters. It wasn't. They never stopped. They never quit doing what they did. They gutted them with the run, with about 3 different running backs and that offensive line. And Brett Bielema said it sucked. Those guys came to play against Penn State's line.
Well, you wonder if that was a look ahead game for Penn State at some level, because Ohio State's the opponent this week. And you know, did they get caught looking ahead?
They had 4 starters that didn't play on the defensive line.
Well, and Clifford, the quarterback, continues to be a factor, correct?
Yeah.
For them. So, you know, that was disappointing because that was going to set up a Big Ten Saturday that would be Michigan
Absolutely.
State, Penn State, Ohio State. They're still going to play, but, you know, Penn State has tumbled now after the loss. So we'll start looking forward.
And Ohio State's got a really nice run game. They're going to run the ball right at Penn State again.
Well, the freshman running back has really taken over, Travion Henderson.
Yep.
He's really good. You know, that's a team in Ryan Day's squad that's going to keep getting better as the year goes on. And obviously, coming out of the weekend, either Michigan or Michigan State will have a loss in the Big Ten because they're going to play Saturday, and that becomes a monster game. Longhorns are going to Waco. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian coming up at 11 o'clock today, the Game Week News Conference, to talk about the bye week, what was accomplished, and what the focus will be moving into the next game. And it's now a tough 2-game stretch. When you come out of the bye, you got to go to Waco. Then you go to Ames, where Iowa State beat Oklahoma State in a really good football game on Saturday, 24-21, kind of like we thought that game would be, you know, tough and tight. And in the end, it was Iowa State making a big stop late to hold on for the victory. There was also one of the worst calls. Big 12 officials should be ashamed of themselves for the unsportsmanlike conduct call they called on Xavier Hutchinson, their wide receiver. As he was running into the end zone, he started to do kind of the Deion high step, and they called an unsportsmanlike conduct, took a touchdown off the board, which could have had a huge impact on the outcome of the football game in Ames. It turned out not to, because Iowa State won the football game.
Right.
But it's among the worst calls you'll ever see, and the Big 12 officials should be ashamed of themselves for even making it. Matt Campbell was about to lose his mind.
He's about to get another 15-yarder.
Well, I mean, I don't know how he didn't. I mean, that was beyond ridiculous. But either way, that's the Big 12 officials being Big 12 officials. But in the end, Iowa State won the game. And that's now what the Longhorns face. They go to Waco to play 6-1 Baylor. Then they go to play Iowa State, who has resuscitated their Big 12 title hopes with that victory. Remember, they're a 2-loss team, big picture, Iowa State, but they're just a 1-loss Big 12 team. And Iowa State's 1-loss was in Baylor, or at Waco, to the Baylor Bears, who the Longhorns will face on Saturday.
Yeah, and Oklahoma just squeaked out
How about that? About scoreless for Oklahoma against Kansas
in the first half. There was
the Fighting nuts. Jayhawks. The Fighting Jayhawks.
They came to battle.
They certainly did, and Oklahoma survived that victory. But they're still sitting atop the conference with Oklahoma or Iowa State now, and Baylor hot on their heels. So we'll get back into the Big 12 mix, the Longhorn mix, the race itself out of Coda. If you were a part of that 140,000. Strong. We'd love to hear from you on the experience of what you saw yesterday and throughout the weekend out at the Circuit of the Americas. We'll also get a Craig Way report coming up. We'll get your B&E fact of the day. We'll get you that team, a new team involved in the Deshaun Watson trade sweepstakes. We'll get you the latest there And yes, the World Series is coming back to Texas. The Astros will play the Atlanta Braves beginning tomorrow night down in Houston. We'll start to drill down on the Fall Classic as well, with the Astros making their third trip in 5 years. All part of a busy Monday on the Show of the People. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Certainly is. B&E with you on a Monday. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. Hope you had a good one. Plenty of good. Plenty of bad. People talk about the traffic getting in and out of COTA and the Circuit of the Americas over the weekend. But certainly the eyes of the world on that race. 140,000 fans packed into COTA to see the race yesterday itself. And we're taking your thoughts. It was Max Verstappen getting the victory over Lewis Hamilton. Lewis, of course, had dominated that track and winning 5 of the 8 previous races there. Verstappen, the young gun, gets
the young guy from Mexico, came in third, correct?
Yes.
He was right there.
Yes. I mean, it was a great race.
Kind of the way these guys have been finishing lately.
Front to back. And so we'll take your thoughts on what we saw out at COTA. I did see that. Did you see where Shaquille O'Neal was the grand marshal? Shaquille O'Neal.
Really? They didn't try to put him into one of those little carts?
No. I mean, it's amazing. He's guy's huge. I mean, I saw Chris Bosch was there. I mean, it's a star-studded affair. Isaiah Collier, our great producer, did you see Megan Thee Stallion there again? She was wearing kind of see-through pants with her buxom booty.
I didn't see her, but I definitely would have noticed her.
Yeah, you probably should check out her Instagram. She was, you know, flaunting her stuff. Yesterday was National Tight Ends Day. Like football tight ends, but, you know, she was...
Whether her end is tight or not, she was flying
it's big.
Yeah.
For sure. But, yeah, it was a star-studded event, and all the
and tight ends all over the NFL were catching balls like mad.
I know, that wasn't that weird?
It was weird. they kept saying, hey, it's... They kept, every time they catch one, they say, hey, it's...
National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm supposed to catch one today.
It felt like it. It felt like they were all catching them.
Yeah.
No question, including, Zach Ertz, as we mentioned, caught his first for the Arizona Cardinals in the Texans game.
Colts had one, a tight end catch touchdown.
Colts had one last night. The kid from Cincinnati, C.J. Uzuma.
Caught two, right?
Caught two. Of all the games, like the Chiefs game and the Titans game was a rematch of the AFC Championship game. It wasn't hugely surprising. That was one of your lock picks of the weekend, and it certainly played out exactly as you predicted, with just too much power and too much Derrick Henry and too much Tennessee physicality for Kansas City, and then the Chiefs were their typical turnover-prone, sloppy selves.
Boy, they are sloppy this year.
And it turned into a wreck, but...
you know who's sloppier than they are?
Who?
And, of course, the record proves that, is the Houston. You're talking about a sloppy group of guys jumping off sides in the league of procedures and stuff that you really can get rid of. You know,
and that's like not surprising. The Houston's 1-6, right? I mean, that's kind of what the expectation is. And
you know, and they don't play that bad of a defense.
They do. Lovie Smith is the defensive coordinator. They play hard on defense, at least. The offense is a mess. But the Chiefs being that sloppy is a surprise, right? The Chiefs
it
are
is.
Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and you know How are we going to say this? A burgeoning dynasty in Kansas City? Well, they're not playing very dynastic football right now.
They need to spend their money on defense.
And they can't turn... If you're going to have a defense that's leaky, you can't turn a football over.
No.
You just cannot give it away as often as they do. And it just... You know, when they were the Chiefs, right, going to back-to-back Super Bowls and winning one, they... You know, you get 10 possessions in a game, they would score touchdowns or field goals on 8 of them, right?
I mean,
they're putting big points on the board.
They weren't throwing it away to the other guy.
Now they're turning it over half the time.
Yep.
Which, you know, just they're playing from behind all the time because of those. They do look like, to me, like the Cowboys early last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys were turning the ball over like mad with a bad defense, and they're trailing all the time. And
Tom Brady's group is starting to get real good on defense again.
They are. And that's why I say the Chiefs-Titans game rematch of the AFC title game kind of went, you know, the team playing a lot better, won that game easily. I just think the biggest surprise is Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, Cincinnati Bengals are now 5-2. Remember, the one of their losses was an overtime loss to the Packers.
Yeah, and I saw when they played bad defense, and I think that was against the Packers, as a matter of fact. But Aaron Rodgers will make you play bad defense.
And Joe Burrow's a different bird, man. That team, Cincinnati, is the Bungles, right? That's who we're used to. They're all of a sudden going into Cincinnati and smacking around the Ravens. They're emerging now in the AFC, and you got to keep an eye on them. I thought they were very impressive yesterday. Everything else kind of went as planned as far as the National Football League goes.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with the Browns.
Yeah, they enjoyed a bye. No, actually, they lost Thursday night.
Yep.
They lost back on Thursday. They won back on Thursday, I should say, with Case Keenum. They got the victory in that game against the Denver Broncos. So they're in that division, too. But I mentioned that we talked on Friday on our show, and you can go to our website, hornfm.com, to hear the podcast. If you missed John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who's covered the NFL and the Houston professional team since, got 45 years. And he told us he believes that Deshaun Watson will be traded, and he thinks it's going to be to the Miami Dolphins between now and November the 2nd. That is the trade deadline coming up in about a week. And emerging from that conversation, and one of the reasons John gave was the right now the Dolphins are really the only team in the mix, for at least in his opinion and his reporting. But that may change now because reports out of Carolina that the Carolina Panthers, who benched Sam Darnold yesterday in the second half of their game against the New York Giants, Matt Rhule said they needed a spark to their offense, and maybe they've given up on the Sam Darnold experiment.
Wow.
And that the Carolina Panthers may be in the mix now for the Deshaun Watson situation. Of course, North Carolina, just north of Atlanta, Georgia, where Deshaun grew up. If you remember, Deshaun has a no-trade clause, and at this point he has only, according to the Houston Chronicle, been willing to waive it for a trade to the Dolphins. But that might be something to keep your eyes on this week, too, because the Deshaun Watson trade could happen. John McClain believes it's going to happen between now and November the 2nd.
Well, nothing's going to go on with the Dolphins with Tua. They're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, they just played a good game yesterday. Well, actually, they lost. But he played better, but they lost to the Atlanta Falcons on a field goal at the buzzer. There's another one of those tight ends, Mike Gesicki, caught a couple of touchdowns. Kyle Pitts of the Falcons had a
Freaky
big game.
Freaky Pitts had a big game.
Big game on National Tight Ends Day. But in the end, the Dolphins lost again. So, they seem to be the team most interested in Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson wants to be in Miami. And, I watched on Sunday all the league insiders reporting that the NFL, Roger Goodell, and the league have no intention of suspending Deshaun Watson. That he will not be put on the commissioner's exempt list
until he starts to play.
No. I mean, the assurances are out there that unless he's charged with a crime, which he has not been yet, within the players, the latest collective bargaining agreement, the commissioner can't put him on the commissioner's exempt list. Anybody that acquires Deshaun Watson would have the ability to put him on the field immediately. And there's, at least according to the NFL insiders, the Adam Schefters of the world and the Ian Rappaports of the world, there won't be a suspension. That owners have been, contacting. He can't by rule unless there is a charge of a crime. And I know Cowboys fans will immediately jump to the Ezekiel Elliott suspension of 6 games when he was not charged with any crime, right? In this case, the Lewis collective bargaining agreement has lessened the power of the commissioner in that regard, and there has to be a specific, charges against a player to be able to put that player on the commissioner's exempt list, and that's where it stands right now with Deshaun Watson.
That doesn't look like it'll happen until the new year.
And it may not happen as far as a criminal charge. Of course, all of these are civil charges and civil claims by 22 different masseuses.
And that's why all the eyes really are the DA in Houston.
Right. But it does feel like, according to John McClain on Friday and other insiders, that the Dolphins are ready to take the risk to try to acquire, a 25, 26-year-old franchise quarterback. And it now sounds like the Carolina Panthers might be in the mix. And we remember earlier this year that it was Chris Sims, the former Longhorn, who reported on his radio program that the Philadelphia Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie gave Howie Roseman, the general manager, permission to explore a trade with the Texans for Deshaun Watson.
Well, the closer it gets, the more suitors that'll start to show up.
Yeah.
Including Denver.
And there's a lot to believe. That's why the story floated out last week from the Houston Chronicle that the Dolphins were about to get this thing done. The report last Wednesday indicated that the deal was close to fruition and could have been concluded by Friday of last week. Well, that didn't happen, but was that floated by, the Texans to say, hey guys, we're moving forward here, we're moving close to a deal with the Miami Dolphins. If you want to be a part of this, make your best offer, which, that heated up into Friday, And then here we are coming Monday. And coming out of that, you had the teams most interested, maybe Carolina, benching their quarterback Sam Darnold. You had the Philadelphia Eagles losing with Jalen Hurts. And you had the Miami Dolphins losing to what I think is a pretty bad Atlanta Falcons team at home. So those three most primary suitors all took losses this weekend. Does that up the ante here, and do the Texans move forward with some type of trade this week? We'll follow that trade deadline November 2nd.
Are they still hanging on to three first-round picks?
That's what John McClain said Friday. Three first-round picks and 2 seconds. It starts with three first-round picks, 2 seconds and or players. The Texans really don't want players, to be honest with you.
They want draft picks.
They want draft picks to rebuild and restock their team in the vision of the new general manager, Nick Caserio.
And they like their quarterback.
They're getting to see Davis Mills, their first pick of last year's draft, the third round pick out of Stanford, who they believe had he, you know, stayed for another year at Stanford,
sure,
might have moved himself into a first round kind of pick. Instead, he came out early, and the Texans took him in the third. But yes, at least the Texans are getting to evaluate him
for
and
sure,
figure out what he is in real time, so they know if they have something there or not. So we'll follow that story. Also a big story down in Houston with the Astros into the World Series. They'll play the Atlanta Braves.
Who's pitching tonight? Glavin? Or Smoltz? No.
No,
those days are over.
They'll play until tomorrow night.
Bagwell, Biggio?
No. No,
those days are gone.
It's a new group.
It's a whole new group, isn't it?
We'll get into the World Series for sure. But Caesar Sportsbook has the Astros as -150 favorites over the Braves to win the World Series. So Houston, the favored team in this coming in. We'll get into it. But remember, the Astros, 2-7 all-time at home in World Series games. 2-7. Remember, they didn't win a single game against the Nationals the last time they were in the World Series, a couple years ago. Remember, they lost both at home, then won all three in Washington, came home with a chance to win it, but lost both games 6 and 7. I know Houston fans, I remember. You remember. But they didn't win a single game. And remember, they beat the Dodgers. Those were their two home wins in the World Series that they won. But against the White Sox back in 05, they got swept. So Houston, 2-7
they
lifetime.
They got some old ties against Atlanta, don't they?
Well, this is Atlanta's first trip to the World Series since 99.
They used to play each other a lot.
Yes, back in the National League divisional rounds and series, it used to be Glavin and Smoltz and Maddox torching the Killer Bees. And yes, this will be a rivalry revisited this week and into the weekend, the World Series. First two games in Houston, middle three games in Atlanta. If necessary, the game 6 and 7 will be back at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Starts tomorrow night, and we'll get you the pitching matchups and all the fun there. But World Series is here. We've got football on the brain as well. And the race itself, COTA, was quite the scene this weekend. We'll recap that throughout the morning. We'll get to your B&E fact of the day coming up and some other facts from the weekend. But first, here's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Show of the people on a Monday. The good, the bad, and the ugly from a busy weekend. Some facts of the day. We'll get to the actual B&E fact of the day coming up. The question of the morning, the quiz. Get your brain working. But you realize 140,000 fans at Coda Buck. By my read, that makes it the largest attended sporting event in the state of Texas. All time.
Well, for this area, for sure.
Has there ever been a bigger one elsewhere? Trying to think. Dallas, Houston. I mean, 140,000 people. That's a lot.
I don't know any place else that would fit that kind
that's
of room.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought. And they were everywhere. Grandstands were packed. The hillsides were packed.
All the turns were packed.
And they saw a great race that Max Verstappen won yesterday. If there's a larger one, let me know, because that looks to me to be the largest. But maybe there's something in Houston or Dallas that would match it. And as far as a sporting event goes, also from the weekend, Buck, we're talking about the World Series on the way to the timeout. How about Yordan Alvarez, the young Astros DH and outfielder, 24 years old, batted .522 in the ALCS. He was the easy pick for MVP, and he became the first human being ever, baseball player, he had 7 hits over the last 2 games, games 5 and 6 of the ALCS. The entire Red Sox team had 5. So he's the first player ever to out-hit an entire team over 2 games to close out an LCS. That's how hot he was.
Oh, my goodness, Sox.
Yeah, the Sox couldn't hit. The Astros pitching locked it up with Framber Valdez and then Luis Garcia on Friday night in the bullpen. And Yordan Alvarez, they couldn't get him out.
Dusty going to play this bullpen game again, you think?
Well, look, I mean, the fact that they won it Friday, now they will be well-rested into tomorrow night. And so you'll start with Framber Valdez, most likely, and then Luis Garcia, the other young pitcher that the Astros have developed out of their system. He had the no-hitter going on Friday night and pitched great. So those guys will be the first two. And the question will become, can Lance McCullers pitch in the World Series? You know, it's a forearm injury. It's not structural to his elbow. The Astros are going to be extremely careful, but at the same time, you got to look at a World Series here. This is what you play the whole season for. You need four wins to get a championship. Would Lance McCullers at any point in this series be available? That'll be something to watch for moving forward. Meanwhile, as hot as Yordan Alvarez was for the Astros, Eddie Rosario for the Atlanta Braves, equally hot. He was the NLCS MVP, ripping the cover off the ball. All he did was bat, and what did he go? Bat 560, 14 for 25, three home runs, a double and a triple, nine RBIs in their six-game series victory over the LA Dodgers. So that was great stuff. I mean, those two guys are just in a tree right now. And the Braves are a great story. Remember, they were kind of left for dead with 100 games in the season because they lost Ronald Acuna. Their outfielder, they had the injuries that one of their best pitchers got hurt. And at the trade deadline, you'll remember, the Braves made a trade with the Cleveland Indians for Eddie Rosario. And they also traded for Adam Duvall. They rebuilt their outfield on the fly because of injuries, and Rosario and Duvall have been huge for the Braves, you know, coming in and bringing punch to their lineup around Freddie Freeman and Ozzie Albies and the rest of that lineup. So Braves-Astros, game one tomorrow night. We also had college football over the weekend. But
yeah, Aggies got their, speaking of a team that's got their run game going, is Texas A&M.
Yes.
Both running backs are now crushing it over 100 each game now the last two games. A young offensive line, or not young, but
they're coming along.
Yeah, they are coming along.
Well, I mean, the Aggies have two losses, and that loss to Mike Leach and the Pirate at Mississippi State is going to haunt Jimbo Fisher.
It is.
Because, you know, if the one loss was a loss to Arkansas on a neutral site where you're breaking in a new quarterback, pretty forgivable.
But Roll Tide.
Because not only, but the other part of that Mississippi State loss is you can't play your way back into the SEC championship game.
No.
Because even though you have Alabama beaten and you have the tiebreaker, that second loss, if Alabama wins out and are just a one-loss team, they're going to be the representative in the SEC West in the championship game playing Georgia. A&M won't have any control of that. They need Alabama to take another loss.
Georgia-Florida this week is huge.
Yeah, it is a big week. And how about this, Buck? Can we get to your B&E fact of the day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Iowa State beating number 8 Oklahoma State on Saturday, 24-21. Nine AP top 10 teams already have lost to unranked opponents this year.